And it's great to be here together this morning on the Feast of Pentecost. And we've been singing those Pentecost songs and asking the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And that's what I'm going to share with you today about how that works, a bit of that. I want to give you a somewhat different picture of that than what is usually on our minds and often comes. And that is the flow of a river and how powerful that is, and how appropriate that is for us here at St. Francis and for you and I and the way that our lives are going. And the picture of the Spirit that Jesus gives as a river of living water is something that is important for us to flow in. It's important to flow in that and in the way that that goes. So, what I want to do is tie a few of these things together in the way that works in our lives, and not have it just as a kind of a nice picture, nice religious picture. It's really not all that nice, actually, if I can be honest. It's nice to look at from a distance, but there's a little something else going on with a river that when we begin to see how that's operating in our lives, we begin to flow in the mission that God has and the purpose for which we were born. So that's where we want to go today with all of that. And we can see that a huge part of what happens when we consider the Spirit of God and the way the Spirit may descend upon our lives and be released through our lives is that it is disturbing. There is a disturbance that goes on within us when we encounter the Holy Spirit. And that's very, very important to be able to see happen, to grasp, and to go with as that happens in our lives. Because God's promise is that you will be disturbed, and His presence is a disturbing presence. In fact, you may, in your history lessons growing up or coming across on the internet, or maybe somebody Googled it and then sent it to you or something, there's the famous Bayeux Tapestry, which depicts the Battle of Hastings in 1066. You all remember that, right? Excellent. That's excellent. Of course, then just as a small refresher, William of Normandy, around that time, you were just in that neck of the woods, weren't you? Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. William of Normandy gets an army together in France, comes over and wages war in England, and there's the big Battle of Hastings, in which William then becomes the King of England. That's basically what happens. William of Orange, he was sometimes called to, where the Orangemen come from, the Irish Protestants and others. It was introduced in that time. That was a free aside, by the way. It has nothing to do with my point. But nonetheless, on this tapestry, there are many scenes of this Battle of Hastings. And one of them has to do with William's brother, Odo, Bishop of Bayeux. And there's the Bishop of Bayeux with a huge club in his hand, right next to the soldiers of his army. Not the soldiers of the English army, the soldiers of William's army. And some scholars will report that what that scene depicts is comforting the soldiers. Now please don't do this at home. So comforting the soldiers has to do with the old use of the word comfort, with strength. And it was a very strong prompt. And the idea of the comforter, the Holy Spirit being the comforter, is one who prompts you very strongly to be going in the direction and in the purposes that God has for you. Now, there's to be the occasions when we need to be comforted in the way that we think about it today, because you've had a difficult time or whatever, and there's healing that comes. There's healing in the presence of God. All of that is very important comfort, and all within the ministry of God. However, there is the comforter who prompts. There are other scenes on that tapestry of William taking the sword and poking it in the back of one of his soldiers. William comforts his soldiers. That's, you know, the sword. Of course, you know, you could go a little further. The sword being an image of the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comforting you, prompting you, hitting you on the head with the word, whatever it may be, so that you would be moving in the direction that God has for you. It's all very disturbing, is perhaps a more accurate way of looking at how this works. And what we see today is Jesus speaking of the Spirit of God. And he says, those who believe in me, from within them will flow streams of living water. There are two scenes, I guess, here, two movements with this. One is encounter, the other is release. And it's the encounter with Jesus. If you are thirsty, anyone who is thirsty can come to Jesus. And you may remember in the gospel reading a minute ago, it started that way. Anyone who is thirsty can come to me and drink. From him who believes, who receives that, will flow those streams. That encounter with Jesus, where you are thirsty and you come to him to drink, is an encounter that he defines. It is not an encounter that we define. And some people have to get pretty thirsty before receiving from Jesus, because he will define how you receive it. That you receive it is what he wants, and it's freely offered, but it is without condition, without your conditions, you might say. You see Jesus offering the water, you're real thirsty, you're a mile away, so Jesus, okay, here I come. And you get closer and you say, all right, Jesus, I can see it. I'll give you 50% of my income. Half a mile in. Well, 20% of my income. You know, the closer you get, the less it is. Do you remember that movie with Burt Reynolds doing that? Do you remember that? I've forgotten that movie. Like, he's way offshore and he's afraid of drowning. He's swimming in, Lord, if you save me. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that movie? You do? What is it? What's the movie? Oh, okay. Let me keep moving theologically here. We put those conditions on. And Jesus would say, come to me. That's the encounter with him. And in that encounter with him, something changes within us. And perhaps most of all, most profoundly, is our picture of Jesus, who he is. He is Lord of all. And that encounter is what he wishes for us to pick up first. So we follow after him. He becomes our Lord. Everything that we do comes under his direction and his authority. We just don't offer him, oh, Lord, I'm going to do it this way. How do you like that? Will that work? He begins directing. And that is very difficult for us sometimes to do. And often what will happen is that we'll get ourselves into a position where we think, well, I'm not hearing God. I'm not able to do this or that that God wants me to do. It's not going the way that I think God would have me do it. I'm just not going to be able to do it. And often we think, well, that's my time. I don't have any time. But I think underneath that is that there is something we do not wish for God to control. We do not wish God to define how our lives will be. So when we give up that control, when we say, God, take all of it, we've had that encounter where our thirst is quenched by the living water that Jesus gives us. So what exactly am I saying? Let's say you were to ask me, let's say we're talking about prayer. Well, I don't have any time to pray. I don't know. I'm not going to hear anything and all that. And I would say, well, you just need to let God lead your prayers. Let God be the prayer. And You might be very nice to me, but you might inside be thinking, are you telling me I just got to sit there and let God lead my prayer life? Yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm saying. you want to serve people, you want to give back. And often when we give back, we're defining what we will give and how we will give it. So, we're talking about that. You're thinking, it's not working. I don't have time to do it. I don't know what to do. And I said, well, why don't you let God tell you what to give? Are you telling me that I am supposed to let God tell me who I'm going to serve and how I'm going to serve him and when I'm going to serve him? Yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what God is saying. What the Bible is saying, prayer book, the whole deal. All of that. So you get the idea. The encounter with Jesus will quench your thirst by you coming fully under his lordship and then spending the rest of your life following Jesus. It doesn't mean that it'll be perfect. It doesn't mean that you won't do it. It doesn't mean you won't want to take control back. It doesn't mean that you'll argue with them. It doesn't mean that it's just going to go nicely from there on out. It means he is your Lord and you will follow him, and that is where your thirst is quenched, no matter how crucifying it is. That encounter leads to a release. By the way, is everybody okay? All right, good. That encounter leads to a release. And the release is the river of living water from your spirit, through your soul, through your body, to the world around you. And it's like a stream that is from an underground springs, bubbling up and then beginning out and then increasing until it joins the river of God. That comes from encountering Jesus. You encounter him, and then out flows that stream. That's what he desires. Now, when it comes out of your spirit, where you have communion with God, in your spirit you have is your conscience and your communion with God, and it'll flow through your soul. And in your soul is where your intellect and your emotions and your will is. As the Spirit of God is flowing through your soul, there'll be healing going on in your soul. And then through your body and then out into the world, so that you are extending the kingdom of God from that encounter with Jesus. Now, I think that image of a spring welling up, becoming a stream flowing from our lives to flowing out and increasing and joining the river of God is the image that is the most important, profound, and powerful for us here in St. Francis. Why do you say that, John? Because right here, moments from this spot is one of the most important rivers in the history of this nation and the history of the Native people before that, the James River. I mean, just this morning you could walk to it. And from the James River has come all kinds of life and support of life for centuries. And that river changes course over time. And the way that a river changes course, the James River being an example that we can see, is one bank of the river will be softer soil and the other side, opposite, will be harder rock, soil, or whatever. So the softer side will wash away and it'll cause then the river to curve over a long, long period of time, of course. And it'll flow towards the ocean, and as it goes on its way to the sea, the river will hit a fall line. And the fall line is that line where the harder soil of a forest stops and the softer soil of the tidewater begins. And as the river goes along that and starts over that fall line, what happens is there'll be rapids because more is being washed away. Sometimes there'll be waterfalls because of that. Sometimes that's why it's called a fall line. What will happen is that the river in that kind of a soil will support a different kind of life than in the woodlands. So the tributaries and streams that come in and join the river in the woodlands are feeding a certain kind of life. Get into the tidewater, it's feeding a different kind of life. All from the tributaries, all coming in. You and I, when we are thirsty and we encounter Jesus and we give him control, we even invite him to disturb us, then will flow from us rivers of living water. And you will, by that means, join in with the river of God. Join in with the mission of God. Join in with what God is already doing. And where you are having some influence for the good in people's lives, you will join in with that greater influence and that greater good. St. Francis will be able to do the same thing. Because right from this spot, if you will, at least relationally, is a spring welling up. The salvation of God wells up from the ground. And it is welling up right here and being released into this immediate area. And we join in with the river that God has flowing through this area and all that he desires. And because of where we are and what may be going on, there would be, for us, a certain kind of life that we support by God's Spirit flowing through us. Another church, which would be in another kind of soil, would support that kind of life as the river of God flows through it. Aren't you glad you're here today to learn all this? It's incredible. This is how God is working with us. This is what happens. And we lean on him, give him control. We go where he desires, and we ask him to lead us into that river. Now, this is what happens with the river of God. And Ezekiel describes it. And when Ezekiel describes it, he says it starts rising and rising as you go along. It's rising until if you're in that river, it starts to sweep you away because it's so deep. And then it gets to a point outside of Jerusalem in his description where it goes east, makes a sharp turn east, and then goes to the becomes a waterfall to the deepest point on the earth. When you are in the river of God, the first thing that happens is you give God control. And then what will happen is that God will then turn you east. Now, every ancient Israelite who read that, every Israeli since then who's read that portion of Ezekiel knows that the enemies of Israel were to the east. So God being God, took them right to the place they did not want to go. And God may take you to the place you do not want to go, so that his life will meet that place and transform it and redeem it through what he's doing for you. And then you go further to the deepest place, which is the place that needs the most redemption. And the river of God will take you there. That's what we signed up for. When you were baptized and the sign of the cross was made on your forehead, there was a brand that you were owned by Jesus from that day on. And the control that you want to have for your life, you gave up to Him. With the understanding that you take it back, you know, often. And then you repent, you give it up and take it back, repent, give it up. That's just the way that it goes. But that's how it works. So that that stream of living water flows from you and then joins the river of God and the life that God wants. Now, the assumption that I am asking you to make, the shift that I am asking you to make in your thinking is this. A vision for a church is not what will this church look like a few years down the road. A vision for a church to pursue is what will this community be like a few years down the road as we pursue the kingdom of God, as we allow that river of living water to flow through us and join in with the river of God. What would be our part in that? That's the vision. For us, I believe the vision of God for this area that He wants us to pursue is a encouraging, connected community around here, all the way around here. Every level, every economic level, every expertise, every individual, every household, every business, connected with each other in a way that encourages every gift God's given to be released. Something along those lines. And you know what? We are well on the way to doing that. We are quickly, rapidly moving in that path where a lot of your neighbors have been blessed by your presence. A lot of the places where you do business have been blessed by you being there. Other people have been blessed and brought in to this table because of you. It is what God has deposited within us as we lean on Him and give up that control for Him to control it. That will be deepened and enriched and released into the community where we join in with the full, whole picture of the flow of the river of God. I don't know about you, but I think that's really something. It's incredibly good. The personal challenge for each of us, myself included, you know, I'm just a guy who's read theology, I don't know anything special, is to check, do I have on the door of my heart a do not disturb sign? If so, I need to turn it around so the other side might read HS, enter at will. Holy Spirit, enter at will. We have some exciting times ahead. Beautiful, rich, powerful, chaotic, exciting times ahead of us. Because of where the river's going. Let's stand before the Lord. Lord Jesus, You are Lord of all and Lord of us, and Lord of this church. And we ask that You would use us and release us to join in with Your river in this place so that Your name would be glorified and Your life be released. We ask that today for the glory of Your name. Amen.